This is the Makeup Show podcast, where we take some time every week to talk all things about makeup, from kit to career, from artistry to inspiration, and everything in between. With decades of experience in all areas of the industry, award-winning makeup artists Danessa Myricks and James Vincent travel the world meeting and educating makeup lovers. In this podcast, Danessa and James share the wealth of their knowledge and career insights with you.
Hey, hey, hey!
Howdy, howdy, howdy!
I'm Danessa Myricks.
And I'm James Vincent.
And this is the Makeup Show podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to, I think this is my sixth week in quarantine.
6 weeks in quarantine. I think it's our third week deciding that we're going to bring the podcast to YouTube. Am I right?
I think you're right. I think this is the third video we're launching just in time for the Makeup Show New York weekend, which is...
I'm so excited for this weekend. Understand that, like, I've been having so much, like, anxiety and sadness, and I'm realizing that the connection that we would normally get from, like, all the shows that we would do, especially in New York, because the New York show, people come from all over the world. It's everybody you know or ever wanted to meet. And it would normally be, we would right now be, you know, visiting vendors and then this weekend, like, ready to entertain people from all around the world. So I'm feeling that emptiness in my heart.
Oh, babe. And you had such big plans with the Danessa Myricks International stage. And you know, the funny thing is, it's Facebook memories are great, but it's also like a reminder of all of the amazing moments that we're missing out on. But we're going to be bringing a virtual program to everyone this weekend. You and I have a panel that we're doing this weekend that I think is very exciting.
And I'm super excited about it. And I think it's so in line with what everybody needs to hear to help them navigate better through this time. So it's gonna be a great weekend.
Well, you know, there's so much going on right now. And what I wanted to talk about in this episode is, you know, so many artists have been messaging me, it is almost impossible for me to believe as a New Yorker, but many of our artists and estheticians that listen to the podcast are being asked to go back to work this week. States are starting to open up, and it seems crazy to me here, but I know that everyone's experience with this COVID-19 pandemic has been very different.
Very different, yeah. I totally agree. It's a little bit, it makes it even more difficult to navigate because, you know, we're in New York, so we're like hit the hardest, but there are people who are like in middle America or even on the West Coast, and they're not experiencing like a fraction of what we're doing here. So some of the things that are happening, they're like, okay, like, why can't I go to work? There's like two people sick in my city. Like, you know what I mean? So I totally get it, but it's still a little scary. I think I'm of the school of, you know, all for one, one for all. Like, until everything is on track, no one should be doing anything. And this is coming from like a business owner. Like, this is clearly affecting me tremendously. Look, but people's lives are so much more important.
So, like, I'm going to put it right out there. I have not received a dollar from the government since any of this happened. As a small business owner, you know, as a brand, you know, as an individual artist, I am like, you know, I had a dream last night that my grandparents were telling me to start and think about rationing sugar and coffee and flour. And, you know, it was such a crazy dream for me. But I thought, like, this is kind of where my mindset is because I'm here in New York. But I had a situation the other day, and that's why I wanted to talk about this with you. Artist that I mentor in Texas, who is the owner of a space, messaged me and said, you know, we are not working, we're not making any money, we want to open up. But because they don't know anyone who has been infected or affected by COVID-19. So they're doing barbecues, they're going horseback riding, they're swimming every day. And I think they're not understanding that while I was on that call with them, I was going to pick up a prescription and I literally walked by a truck that is at a hospital to be a freezer for people who have died due to COVID-19. And I think that the reality for each individual, depending where you live in the States or in the world, is very different. And so what I'm trying to be is more mindful of the fact that everyone is having a very individual experience in this right now. But for our artists and stylists and estheticians who are being asked to go back to work, I wanted to take this episode to kind of give them some pointers on kind of putting yourself out there if your bosses or your government is telling you that you need to open up this week.
I really love that. I think it's so necessary. And, you know, we did that two-hour webinar about this topic, and we had thousands of people who've watched, but a lot of people weren't able to see the end of it. So this is perfect. I think it's right on time.
You know, that seminar was so beautiful. I met so many people. You have such a great group of followers anyway.
As do you.
Well, you've got this, you know, you've got a really large following. And what was so beautiful about that was the amount of love and outpouring of people who just wanted to check up on us and make sure that we're okay. And here's what I'm saying to them, very controversially, until I can take a tour of the White House, until my congressmen are back in DC in their seats, until every governor mansion is open for the public to take a tour, you know what I'm not doing? I am not doing makeup. I am not going back to work. You know, when my government officials are there, back at work, back at their desk, I will be back at work myself.
I totally agree with you. And I know for you and I, we feel it like deeply in our hearts because we both had the virus. So we understand the ramifications. I was watching the news, which I never do, but I have to do now in light of what's happening. And that doctor who took her life after saving so many lives, when I hear stories like that, it just tells you there's so much more happening than what we know. Yeah. There's so much more happening than what we see on the news. And we really need to be cognizant of that. When we're thinking about how we're going to move and shake and, you know, provide our services moving forward.
Yeah, we do not have all the information that we need right now. And I want to be very clear about that. I've been doing my research, you know, at the Makeup Show, we really have been working with the Center for Disease Control because we have an event. We are working with our city and our state here in New York. And I know that there is different information from different government agencies throughout the world. But what I want to make very clear is that I don't know what it's going to look like when things open up. I do not know if every makeup artist will be working right away. I don't know if everybody will have the career that they had before this opened, but I do want our artists who have to go back to servicing clients this week to be prepared. And so what I did was took some of the CDC information, our Center for Disease Control here in the US, and I broke it down basically based on a makeup artist application and makeup kit. And if it's cool with you, I thought what I'd do is kind of talk through that for a little while. Cool? Okay.
Let's do it.
So the first thing that the first thing, I love that you're a note taker. I love that we work so much together and we approach things so differently.
Completely differently.
Like my notes are like on a piece of legal paper. So the first thing that was very important to me when we were getting our briefings was that they really want people to understand the difference between a sanitizer and a disinfectant. I think these are two words that people, we're hearing a lot of in the news lately, and we're seeing a lot of on places like Facebook. This is not a partisan podcast. You know, while I'm very clear about my political leanings, in the United States right now, for those people that are at least listening internationally, the idea of wearing a mask or, you know, not going back to work feels like on the left or the liberal side. And what I want all of our listeners to prepare themselves. And the most important piece that the Center for Disease Control said to us was people need to understand the difference between a sanitizer and a disinfectant and how they can incorporate them into their everyday activities, which for us in the beauty industry means above and beyond the protocols that we usually put in place to practice proper hygiene. So a sanitizer, they're defining as a product that reduces bacteria on the surface by at least 99.9%. And that is reducing bacteria. a disinfectant kills a wider range of microorganisms. And so that's a very important thing to know, because what we're dealing with COVID-19 is actually a virus. So if a sanitizer is really prone to be a bactericide, you also want to work with products that are known to kill, like viruses like Lysol and things like that, not to take internally or use in any way on your client's skin, but to use them for hard surfaces and for any makeup product or tool that you might be utilizing in your application. Pretty clear?
I think that makes so much sense. So would an example be a hypothetical cleaning your palette with Lysol, and then you can still use what you normally use that smells great or whatever to clean afterwards? So it's like doing double duty.
Exactly. You want to make sure that if you're using a disinfectant like a Lysol, that that is off of the surface before you put any makeup product on your client or yourself. So while you would use a Lysol wipe to take it down, you let the disinfectant evaporate the way we always do with any hand sanitizer or toners for the skin. And then you would go in with your alcohol or your cosmetic sanitizer or whatever product that you're using, barbicide, whatever it is.
So for our spatulas as well, anything that's metal.
Yeah, and they are cautioning using things that are meant for household cleaner and then using them on the skin. So Clorox bleach is another product that they recommend, but what they're recommending is that you follow the guidelines that are clearly, they're on the website for the Center for Disease Control, or you can even find them on the back of bleach or online. There are dilutions of bleach that they use to clean food prep places in restaurants, or what they're suggesting for anything that's gonna be on the face, clean them the way you would clean a child's toy. So if you follow any guidelines for cleaning children's toys safely, this is going to be something that we should follow because we're working in such sensitive areas.
So there isn't one about put a straw inside and
no.
Just want to be clear. I know you can see it. Just double checking.
No, please do not take these things internally. This is really about hard surfaces again. And you don't want to use Lysol or bleach or any of those things around your cosmetic product. Should not be using Clorox wipes to wipe down the cap on a foundation bottle or things like that. In these areas, you want to be sure you're using cosmetic approved disinfectants and sanitizers. Make sense?
You know what? I think it's important also. It makes total sense. Some of the things that we kind of forget about are like our lights. Like if you're carrying like your glam core, your makeup lights, whatever, you should probably wipe those down too before you put them away. Wipe the inside of the bag it comes in, just that extra step. Because it's something that we don't normally do, but that should be a part of our new normal, I would imagine.
Definitely. And anything that you're laying down to set your makeup up on, like a towel or a makeup pad, what they're suggesting is actually using disposable things like paper towel. If you're using a director's chair or anything, a soft surface that can be laundered, what they're suggesting is as soon as you come home, you strip off any of the clothes that you're wearing, your shoes, and you wash them in hot water in a washing machine to be able to kill that bacteria. So, you know, a lot of this is things we already practice. It's things we already know. And in addition to that, the other thing that has been very politicized in the United States, I know we have a lot of international listeners, is the idea of wearing masks and gloves. Now, what I want our listeners to understand is that you are not necessarily wearing masks and gloves just to protect yourself. And I know that there are a lot of people that are out there that are saying cloth masks are not as effective, or you need to change your gloves more often. But what they are suggesting is that we also are wearing these gloves and these masks to protect other people. And so if it's possible, and I know it's very difficult, I know the state of Georgia is really struggling with this right now, and Texas, as they try to open up, masks and gloves are not so readily available. But what we're finding is that a lot of beauty supply stores really understand what type of masks and what type of gloves need to be stocked for beauty professionals. So what I'm recommending is, even though your local beauty supply store might not have the gloves or masks in stock, you can look for the gloves and masks that they recommend and bring those into your beauty practice. What the CDC is saying is any barrier right now is a better barrier than no barrier. Yeah. And the nice thing about, even if you have a paper mask that you're wearing, if you can put a cloth mask over it, and there are a lot of different patterns online and artists who have started making masks and offering them for free or for a little money, you can launder that cloth mask when you wash your clothes, when you come back into your home. So I think that's a great idea. I don't pretend to be a scientist. I don't pretend to have all the answers. I love science. I am a big supporter of science. I love my crystals and my candles and my witchy things, but anything a scientist is telling me right now, I am listening to. So
I totally agree. I think you consider our non-makeup items too, like even our phones.
Yeah. Phones are a big one. You know, it's something that I didn't even think about, but phones are a huge carrier, apparently, for a hard surface.
Especially since we're constantly putting our hands to our face with the phone, it's obviously unavoidable. And then we put it down on a hard surface when we're not using it or hang it from our bodies. So
yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
The other thing that you want to think about are the materials of the tools and the things that you're surrounding yourself with. It's much easier right now to sanitize a metal palette or spatula or throw cloth in a washing machine than it is to do something that might be porous. So if you are traditionally using a material that might be porous, like plastic, what they are suggesting is that you use something that's non-porous. If you are traditionally using a makeup station setup that cannot be cleansed or disinfected, like hard plastic, what they're suggesting is that you go to something that is easier to clean. Even with phone cases, I would say probably that's something to think about. I want to talk now about product, and this is again a conversation, and I feel like our role with the show podcast is always to kind of be a resource and get the most recent information. Now, all of this might change in a few weeks, but right now, when we're talking about product and we're talking about skincare and we're talking about tools and brushes, I am still doing the research, but one of the things that I am looking at is how can we better maintain our brushes. Now, right now, what we're being told is that the way that we clean our brushes is effective as long as we are using brushes only on one individual, we're sanitizing them in between use, we are not double dipping, and then we are shampooing them with hot water when we are done with the application. And I know most artists work this way. And I'm going to kind of break down how to do that. But the other thing that I'm exploring, because a lot of businesses, I'm sure it's the same for you, a lot of businesses and brands have been reaching out to me saying, do you have any information on disposable brush sets? And you know, the issue here for me comes down to quality and it comes down to sustainability. So I just haven't found disposable brush sets that I think are able to do the professional quality application, and I just think it's a huge waste of resources and materials. So what I'm researching right now, and I'm waiting for answers from CDC and from some other experts, is the idea of autoclaving. So autoclaving is something you see a lot in tattoo shops, and a lot of our estheticians will practice that. And what I'm trying to research for a few of my clients is the idea of sanitizing your brushes, autoclaving them, and then sealing them, so that if you do have a situation like a salon or spa where you are servicing multiple people, you can actually unseal those sanitized and disinfected brushes in front of your client and then put them back into a container and properly sanitize them again when you're finished.
I think that's amazing. And then, you know, prior to that happening, there are so many great brush brands out there. Many of them are having amazing sales, like my Kitco is having 50% off sale that starts today, actually. It's only for 24 hours. But we can also think about, I know in our kits, we all have levels of tools, right? We have those tools that we pull out only for our favorite clients. And then we have like layers to the brushes that we use, you know. Things like, let's say, a lip brush, everybody can have like four or five of those in their kit. Right. They're tiny and you can get a professional brush, sometimes like $2. It's not something that requires so much innovation. It's a lip brush. Once you get the firmness and the length and maybe things like that, you can get multiples of, and brands like, not to promote any specific brand, but let's say a crown that tends to offer at a lower price point. So maybe those types of brushes double up on. I know naturally in my kit, my favorite brushes, I always carry two and three of the same brush.
Yeah.
For the sake of not double dipping and not having to clean in between multiple models. It just seems easier for me. But if cost is an issue, you know, there are levels, levels to brushes that you can purchase. And, you know, even a low cost brush can be very functional, especially when we're talking about something like a lip brush.
Exactly.
So there's, Do you have any differences in between like synthetic versus the natural hair, which is easier to clean or to maintain?
Well, I'll tell you, I am a big fan of modern synthetic brushes. Synthetic brushes, because of the nature of the product and because of the way they've been developed, they do not tend to, we don't have to worry about them holding bacteria the same way. So there are a lot of people who are saying synthetic brushes really are where we should be going, but I don't have a lot of information on that, as I have tended to go pretty cruelty-free in my makeup kit. So I tend to carry more synthetic brushes, and I've got a beautiful set that my Kitco just gifted me. I have some great synthetics from a lot of brands I love, like Delium and Smith. Yeah. You know,
that has some great synthetic brushes because it's a vegan brand. So
Yeah, it's because those are the brushes that I'm carrying anyway. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but what I did want to say was, even the way we carry our brushes, like right now I tend to carry two large brush rolls, or I'm using my Kitco set. But what I'm thinking is, instead of putting my five lip brushes in one plate, you know, my five crease brushes, my five shadow brushes. Right now I'm carrying them as one large bunch, and then I pull them out as I need them. Maybe what we can do is section them off a little so that we have little mini sets. Again, just kind of thinking about the way you're organizing so that it's more efficient when you are setting up your stations or working like that. I'm not taking clients right now, and I'm not planning to for a while, but if you could see the emails I'm getting from people that are having to go back to work right now, they are afraid. They're afraid for their clients, for their reputation. You know, they're afraid for the legal things it could open them up to. And so I'm trying to give some options of how we can better organize to protect ourselves. The next thing I want to talk about is skincare and complexion. And, you know, I've been doing some little tests, Miss Danessa Myricks, with a few of my favorite products. When it comes to complexion product and skincare, this is something that most of us have been working off of the palette anyway. So the idea of taking the product from the container to the client, really we're working off of the palette anyway. But many of us have been using our fingers for skincare. And what I am recommending is instead using tools to be able to apply your skincare. Now, I always use certain brushes. There's a Crown Duo Fiber Brush Blush I love. There's a Cosette Brush Oval Shape Foundation Brush that I love for skincare. But the other thing that I'm doing is I'm using my airbrush to apply beauty oils. And it has been something I've been doing now for about a year. And I love the finish and the control.
Ooh, I'm going to have to play with that. Yeah. Definitely going to have to play with that.
Yeah. What I do is, my favorite airbrush to use is the Temptu AirPod Pro. I know a lot of people are carrying traditional airbrushes, but there's just kind of a wow. And the oils that I are carry in my kit right now, I love the Lime Life One Drop Wonder. I love that. I love the Danessa Myricks beauty oils, and I love the B3 oils, and they all work beautifully through an airbrush. The trick is, if you are using multiple product through the airbrush, you have to be sure that you have one pod or one gun that is specifically for that base ingredient. Meaning, mm-hmm. if you are using oil-based product, you need to have a different brush, a different gun or a different applicator, a pod, than if you're using a silicone product, because the oil and the silicone will not mix and the water will not mix when you bring it through your airbrush. Make sense?
Yep, it sure does.
I'm also a big advocate of primer sprays. I tend to only use primer in certain parts of the face. Scandinavia does a beautiful primer spray. Limelight does a beautiful primer spray. There are so many out there right now. You can really find your favorite. But this will allow you to prep and prime the skin and to be able to apply your beauty oils and all those products with a very fine mist. And then what I'm doing is I'm using my moisturizers, my eye creams, my cream product or balms, and I am scraping them from the container or squeezing the tube and then using a brush to apply them.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love the idea. Like, I like to pack my kits, and even when I create products, I'm always thinking about packaging that allows you to use just amount, just what you need. Yeah. Packaging that's great for mixing. So I love anything that you can squeeze out or anything that you can pump out. Yeah. Or anything that you can easily scrape off of the applicator with a spatula. You know, things that you have to dip down inside become a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
So, and if we are doing those things, you have to be conscious of the double dipping and even the double scraping. Yeah. Like, it's just one per, yeah.
The other thing is I'm really looking at the product that I'm carrying. I have always been a palette person. As a New Yorker, I have kind of put everything into small palettes that I can carry very easily. And what I'm suggesting right now, based on the information that I'm receiving, is that we are keeping things in their original containers. For example, the Vision Cream Cover, I carry in a few different ways. I carry it in a palette. I carry the pens. And I also, for a few of the shades that I use a lot, I carry the tester, a small sample size. And these are easy ways for me to sanitize. They're easy ways for me to disinfect. And I don't have to worry about cross-contamination when I'm carrying liquid or cream product this way. I want to talk a little bit about how do you mix down your product if you've been working with a liquid product that might be a little thicker than the airbrush allows. And the way that you would do that is you would look at the base ingredient. So if you are using a water-based product like a Makeup Forever or a Matte Face and Body, these foundations tend to be thin enough that they can travel right through the airbrush. But if you did need to thin it down, what you would do is thin that down with a little bit of water. If you're using an oil-based product, what you want to do is thin that down with a little bit of your favorite beauty oil. Because it's happening so quickly, you're just thinning it down enough to pass through the airbrush. Any beauty oil that you're carrying, your kit tends to work. Everybody has their favorites, and you'll figure out what that is. If you are using a silicone-based foundation and you're bringing that through the airbrush, then what you need to do is mix that down with a cosmetic grade silicone liquid. And that product is called 244. And it is available through beauty supply stores like Alcone. It is available through beauty stores internationally. And I love a silicone-based foundation. So for me, this is something that I've always carried in my kit already. Now, one little pro trick for me is I tend to like foundations like Kevin Kwan or Danessa Myrick's Vision Cream, where I have that push and pull and play, because they do have that little bit of oil silicone kind of mix. So then what you need to do is think there, how are you going to do this? So what I do is if I'm using a product and I want it to be more matte in certain areas, like on the forehead or through the center of the face, I use the oil there. And then if I'm putting it in the areas of the face where I might want more lift and shine, like the highest point of the cheekbone, you know, that Danessa Myrick's glow everybody's trying to give, there I would use a little more of the 244, because silicone naturally has more shine to it. And I know somebody's going to argue with me about it, but I've been doing this for a really long time. That silicone is always going to give you that shine.
I totally agree.
Now, so, you're such a genius when it comes to product formulation. Is there anything that you want to add to that manipulation?
I love that. I mean, you actually just made the point that I was going to make, because there sometimes the formulas will have a mix. And so you answered that so beautifully because you're brilliant. So thank you.
The last point that I want to make about complexion, and this is really just for the way that I do makeup, is I'm a huge advocate of color correction and underpainting. Yeah. And really working in that way. And the airbrush really allows you to layer very effortlessly. I have always airbrushed. If you look back to a lot of my music videos or things like that, I've airbrushed bodies and things. But what I love about my compact airbrush is I airbrush in every application. And as long as you are keeping separate tools for water, oil, and silicone, it is going to be the same mindset that you use in a traditional application. Anything I do in a traditional application, I can do with an airbrush. And yeah. Anything you do with an airbrush, I can do in a traditional application.
Which is amazing. I know how to airbrush and, of course, use my hands. This is going to be challenging for me because I am 90% hands.
No, baby.
And 10% everything else. So I am, it's going to be a process for me. But as much as possible, I'm going to begin integrating. The airbrush for me always felt like something that was disconnected from my artistry. It's like I'm able to use it very easily doing something artistic. But when it comes to complexion, it's something about the airbrush machine that feels so disconnected for me. So it's something that I'm really going to have to work on. I much prefer to use a brush than the airbrush. But I think what you said was super important. There's going to be a new normal for all artists, and we're really going to have to step up our game and be able to perform in any capacity, because our clients are going to ask for different things now, things that we don't expect. So you may have somebody that you've worked with for years, and suddenly they're going to this is a hands-free zone here. And if you are not comfortable with your brushes and the airbrush, then you're going to potentially lose clients in that way, or not do your best work. So this time that we're in isolation may be a good time to start practicing. We don't know what to expect afterwards.
And I think it's also one of those things where you really need to have the way of being able to do both, because I'm such a finger person. I'm a New York editorial artist. We use our fingers for everything. But I also have clients like CNN where I've developed programs for, or different makeup brands internationally where they're not allowed to touch the face. Yeah. And so that's forced me to work the other way. The airbrush is just practice. And the way that I have been able to kind of play is that I have started thinking about airbrush a little differently. It is really just an extension of my hand, because I think one of the things to think about for people who are worried about airbrushing is traditionally we use our fingers and our brushes to move and manipulate the product around because we are looking at the amount of coverage that it's providing. Mm-hmm. But with the airbrush, it already deposits in sheer pixels. So the reason airbrush is great for camera is it deposits in soft pixels. You're not layering up so heavily with an airbrush, so you don't need to go in with your hand. You should never, once you airbrush, you shouldn't use your brush or hand over it, because you lose the benefit of the final product, with airbrush. Yeah. So it's just an adjustment. It's just another tool. And I really have fallen in love with it. We're going to play when we're together, because I think you're going to be like, this is... especially when I'm working quickly, I find the airbrush to be very effective. And honestly,
I see you work with it. And I'm just like, oh, you're done. It's been 45 seconds.
It's a bit of a wow for clients too, because they're like, ooh, what is this? Sometimes I'm not even airbrushing. I tell that story all the time. Sometimes I'm just blowing
hair. You're like, yeah. I love that. I think you made a good point about the type of machine too, because I've been using the hardcore traditional type, and maybe I might find it a bit easier to wrap my brain around with the smaller temp too. So I'm going to play with that.
And technology has come so far with airbrushing as well. The last thing I want to say about complexion, and this is something that I've always done because I tend to have a lot of regular clients, is I will prep a kit for them before I go to see them. So instead of bringing my largest kit and worrying about contaminating or cross-contaminating product. I have my kit for each individual client. And so if you know the complexion that you're going to be working in, if you know, okay, this makeup is not going to have any glitter because I'm doing a natural eye, you don't need to bring everything with you. You can really pare down and bring smaller kit that you can control a little more in your setup and your sanitation.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Less exposure, the better.
Yeah, I want to talk about brow and lash, if that's cool with you. Because yeah, I think that, you know, eyebrows are one of those things that are still big business. I think that when we come out of quarantine, we're going to see a return to a more natural brow like we did after September 11th. Because I think people are having to let their brows grow in and things like that. And I'm all about it. My brows have gone crazy. I did have a little bit of a breakdown last week and hacked my beard off because I was like having quarantine craziness, but my brows have gone crazy.
It was interesting. I was watching something on the news the other day. It was a podcast for the beauty industry. And they were saying something very similar to what you're saying. Like what people actually will be requesting is going to be very different. Yeah. You know, and I know I've experienced this for me, and you may have as well. You know, we were so into our routine, like getting ourselves together, putting on XYZ makeup, whatever, leaving the house. It was a routine that fit into the lifestyle that was to follow for that day. But now that we've had more time, and now that we kind of adjusted to a new way of, you know, taking care of our skin and applying makeup, we've noticed that our needs have changed. Yeah. And that there's like, you know, maybe I only needed like 20% of the makeup that I was wearing and I still like the way I look or whatever. So a lot of people are having these unique revelations about, you know, how they want to approach beauty moving forward. So routines are changing, like you said, with the brow. Like now it's more effortless, like not spending as much time as before. And there's so many things. Keeping the skin more fresh and dewy is definitely, you know, going to be an even much bigger trend, more of a natural feel to the makeup, taking less time. Because now people have weeks and weeks of practice in doing this at home. And people have adjusted to seeing people in a different way as well, because people haven't been as glammed up as they were before. So it's like we've all adjusted to a more casual feel when we interact with people. And so, you know, it was a very interesting conversation on how this is going to transcend into, you know, post corona.
And I think it's also, makeup is socio-political. This is something I talk a lot about. And I think that makeup had become such an exaggeration in places like Instagram, and that idea of influencer glamour and over-exaggeration, it feels a little out of step when the world is still coming back from a major struggle. So I think that that's another reason why people will return to more natural ways of looking and wearing, because the flaunting of excess seems a little inconsiderate after, you know, such a tough struggle. So I'm excited. You know, I love to observe beauty trend. You and I do a lot of forecasting and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see what happens. With brow, you know how I love to structure brow. I think we're very similar. We both like to use pencils, powders, and gels, but for very different reasons. And this is just a quick comment. You know, pencils, very easy. Sanitize them the way you always have. You want to sharpen the pencil. You want to sanitize it in alcohol. And then you want to use it on one client before repeating the process. If you're working with mechanical pencils, you need to make sure that you're removing that top layer and that you're actually sanitizing the entire pencil, at least the part that is getting close to the face. But I would wipe the whole thing down with a beauty wipe. With powders, you should scrape your powder from the shadow pan and place it on a palette before using your brush. And if you're using brow gels, like I love a great brow gel, disposable mascara wands are the way to work. If you're worried about waste, Alcone has some great bamboo mascara wands that are sustainable. And I'm a big fan of the shape of them as well. Or you can use your spoolie brushes, which you can wash and disinfect on your own. Mascara is a very funny one, because mascara is something that as professional makeup artists, we have always worked very diligently to practice proper hygiene. But what they're saying right now is a lot of clients are going to be very concerned about mascara. And so this raises 2 points for me. One is that what you can do if you feel comfortable is you can have your client bring their own product, mascara included. You just need to realize that if you are working from your client's kit, that your brushes might not be working on product that was properly sanitized, because your client probably doesn't know how to properly sanitize. So keep that in mind. Or there are a number of tube mascaras on the market, especially some that come out of Japan or brands like Besame, where you can actually squeeze the mascara onto a product, or products that I love for mascara, like the Danessa Myricks Color Fix or Makeup Forever Artist XL, that I have been using as mascara for years because I liked the color and the tint that they give the lash.
Yeah, I think that makes so much sense. Just like rethinking your waterproof products and seeing how they can play double duty. Exactly. One of the things that I would do, especially with like really big clients or clients that you know you're earning, you know, a much higher rate, you know, minis, mascara minis are the way to go. Like you can buy mascara minis for $5 or $10. Even the most expensive mascara, I think you can get a mini version for $10 or $12. And if you're getting paid, you know, $1,500 for the day, it's a nice investment. The thing about mascara, after formulating mascaras for many years with prestige brands, there are some mascaras whose performance really relies on the applicator and the formula together. It's not true for all mascaras, but high-end prestige mascaras, there's a lot of innovation that goes into the applicator and how it relates to the formula. So you may have this amazing curling formula that you love, but when you take a spoolie, just a random spoolie and use it with that mascara, it doesn't perform the same way because right. It's the action between the formula and the brush. So if you have those high-end mascaras that you're using and you're working with higher-end clients or bridal clients who've invested a lot in you, it may be worth just getting a little mini and giving it to them when it's done.
And that's what I've always done too. I think that, again, you want to think about what is the wow you're giving your client, especially as we return back to this and they might have some fear or trepidation. I have never been a fan of disposable mascara ones, so I always have given the mascara. And when you work it into your rate, it really just allows you to give them the application that they deserve. I think that's such a great point. Do you have mascaras that you love to work with? Because I know it's such a personal...
I'm obsessed with Benefit mascaras. Every formula, one after the other, is just really amazing. I love the Bad Girl Bang mascara. Yeah. And then they have another one. It's another Bad Girl, but it's more of like a fluffy applicator. They also have Their Real, which is really great. You know, I switch up the formula based on the person's lashes.
Exactly.
But the curling mascara that they have, Roller Lash, is incredible. I really, really love that. And then the old favorites like L'Oreal, the pink and green tube is amazing. And then that the gray tube for L'Oreal that has like the blackest black, Luminous. I mean, those are like go-tos in my kit. I mean, with the Benefit ones and those, I feel like I have something for everybody.
Yeah, we use the same mascaras. I'm a huge fan of the Benefit sample sizes. I love the Mayron mascara, which is actually a tube, so you can squeeze it out.
I haven't tried that.
Yeah. And then drugstore mascaras are so often, because I live in downtown New York, I can run over and pick up a Voluminous or Max Factor is another inexpensive one that I love. And Rimmel. James Malloy had
Rimmel
mascaras that are very affordable. And again, it just is about making the client feel special as well. And when I say even to my models, oh, this mascara is for you, you know, it just feels like, oh, like they become a different person in your chair when they do their lead. The next stuff I'm going to talk to you pretty quickly, because I think this is stuff that we talk about all the time in makeup, and it's eyeshadows, blushes, lipsticks. If you're working from palettes, this is a big caution right now, according to some government agencies. Now, there was a big trend in makeup in the last 10 years, and I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this, but in the last 10 years, we have seen palettes go from something that was a very professional thing to something where every makeup brand in the world put out shadow palettes. And what I'm suggesting here is that you start to work small again. The reason is what they are saying to us is that it's much easier to guarantee that you have cleaned a single shadow pot than that you have sanitized an entire palette. And if something is compromised, the idea of throwing out a single shadow versus an entire shadow palette. But what I have done recently, because I have my shadow palettes that I love, like Cosette, but what I will do is I'll pop out only the shadows that I need for a particular client. And this is how I've always worked. And then I will put those into a large, into an individual palette. But now what I'm going to do is just put them in a larger palette. So I might be working with 12 shadows for the day, but in a palette that holds 48. So I'm not worried about any of that.
Oh, you're social distancing your shadows.
I love that idea. Yeah. Cream product. You know, it sounds like, I'm saying it because I'm sitting next to you virtually, but the Color Fix really has changed the way that I do makeup, especially with the addition of the new formulations and textures. I don't have the fallout. I don't have to worry about, you know, the mess that it makes. I can squeeze out only what I need. It lasts all day. I can blend right over it. So cream shadows have been part of my makeup kit for a very long time. And I love the way a cream shadow works. And so I'm really looking now at how can I bring my kit over to be predominantly cream shadows and blushes and things like that.
Let me know whatever you need. Gratis.
You take good care of me. There are also some beautiful formulas that I love in shadows and blushes that are powder product. And another way that they're saying to work is to scrape the powder off your palette or your pan onto your metal palette, and then use a little bit of a setting spray or a carrier product like a moisturizer to make that into more of a cream or liquid. And it offers you more control without the fallout. And again, you're not compromising. There are also loose pigments available, which you can scoop out onto palettes and work that way. So just a few other options. Lipsticks, I think we've always thought about sanitation and hygiene. I don't think we need to cover those categories, but I don't know. For me, I guess it really comes down to the prep and the set. How are you choosing your product for your client? How are you preparing it in a way that practices better hygiene and sanitation than we ever had before? How are you making sure that that makeup stays in place? Loose powders and setting sprays are being recommended over pressed powders just because of the ease of application and airbrush and other methods of application that don't require you to touch the face. So this was a long one. But I think that this is information.
What's funny to me is that you start off by saying, I'm not a scientist. I don't even like science, but you are so technical and you know every little bit of it. Information about everything. So I think you need to stop saying that you're not a scientist. Like, well, you are literally the master of information.
I'm not.
Master, like, I just love listening to you. If I could just put you in my pocket every time I'm on stage, I would feel so much more confident.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a huge fan of science. I loved science in school. I actually wanted to go to school for pharmacy, but it wasn't the science, it was math. Like, I'm so terrible at math.
Yeah, but, you can't talk about math.
No. But I am listening to scientists, and I do feel like one of my roles in this industry is to try and provide people with up-to-date and real information. There are so many places right now where I'm being asked to go on to people's Instagram lives and to do Zoom sessions for brands where they're asking my opinion about staying focused or my opinion about staying optimistic. And I am always honored to offer my opinion. But when it comes down to sanitation hygiene, this is not a place for opinion. This is a time in our life, a time in our history, a time in our industry where we have to defer to science and to the experts and the people who understand how to keep our families, our friends, our clients, and ourselves safe.
Absolutely. So. Well, I appreciate you for being the one to like suck in all this information and be able to share effortlessly and eloquently.
Well, this was a long one too. This is probably the longest podcast we've ever done.
Really? You know, I haven't even been paying attention to the time, but our viewers will be like, okay, I thought you guys were past those hour and a half. I remember our first one. I think our first podcast was, was it 2 hours or something crazy, like over an hour, hour and 20 minutes. We've gotten better. But I think this is an important one. So I think it's okay that it went a little longer. Well, this is why we appreciate our viewers so much, our listeners, because they put up with us in our rants, but hopefully they're getting what they need from it.
Well, I love you so much, and I just appreciate the support you've been giving the industry and the support you've been giving our artists. I think that people know kind of the things you've been doing with Danessa Myricks to help people rebuild their kits, and you know, the seminars that you've been putting together are so appreciated. And I'm excited to share the stage with you this weekend virtually. And and John, we're going to have a whole little makeup show party this weekend.
I'm just going to stay up for 48 hours, basically, because everything they're presenting is things that I want to see. So I'm going to be like this for 48 hours, glued to my phone or to the computer because I don't want to miss anything. And there's going to be tons of amazing deals, product deals, some brands from all over the world who are just participating and making sure that this makeup show weekend kind of gives us a little taste of what we're missing from the New York makeup show. So anybody within the sound of our voice or anybody who's seeing this, the first weekend in May,
Sunday and Monday, we're kicking it off Friday with a few interviews and things like that. We're going to be on Instagram, Facebook. We're going to have Zoom sessions, and all of that information is up right now on Instagram at The Makeup Show.
So guys, we'll definitely be seeing you or hearing you or feeling you this weekend. And we really appreciate you spending yet another Wednesday with us. Thank you for sharing the podcast as much as you do. It really means a lot to us. And as you send those really beautiful messages on Instagram, I just really get a tingle and I get excited to talk to James about what the next topic is going to be. So thank you for all the beautiful comments and sharing it with your friends and colleagues and your followers. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys. We love you so much. Reach out to us at Makeup Show Podcast on Instagram. You can always message us there. Please share it with your friends. We're growing and we're growing, and we'd love to keep meeting new artists from all over the world.
So we love you. You can send us your topics. If there's some ideas that you're having or things that you want us to talk about, just email us at themakeupshowpodcast@gmail.com. We read every single one and we talk about every single one. And so many of your comments have been incorporated into our podcast. So we'd love to continue to see what you guys are interested in hearing about.
Rate, review, and follow us, guys. We love you so much. And we will see you this weekend for The Makeup Show. Bye, guys.
Bye.